Next Step 167, August 18, 2011.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step. Yes, a podcast about life and love. Well, you know what? We're going to be looking at the very fabric of our being through some very ancient lenses. It's the lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, but we polish them up for today. We call that Armenodoxy. We invite you to look with us, to kick back for a while, share a few minutes with us right now. This is part of the expanding vision of the Jews mission, brought to you by the cool folks. Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and, dare we say, expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, so good to see you right now. I guess I'm seeing you because, you know, I saw you all in just an event that just took place a few minutes ago, and I got to share it with you. I'm no longer surprised by these things. You know, driving into the studio this morning, I was coming in and saying, okay, how are we going to do it? And, you know, I'm back at the Glendale studio today. I don't know. When I say studio, it's like semi-studio, semi-office. We know we pull out all the stops. And I was thinking about, okay, where are we going to go in with the podcast today? I have so many things to share with you. Went out on a great bicycle ride last night. My son turns 16. My youngest one turns 16. My oldest took off to Phoenix. Got so many things going on in my head. And then I get out of my car, and there is a woman walking her dog. This just happened a couple seconds ago. And I had to come in and share this with you because I don't believe that these things happen by accident. You know me. You know me. It's all connected. It's all connected. So I get out of my car just a few minutes ago, and there's a woman walking her dog. And she is bawling. She is crying away. Tears. And I walked up to her and I said, "Is there anything I can help with?" And she just is crying away, and she said, "No, it's something I have to get through." And so I said, "If there's anything I..." And she said, "Yeah, I will take a hug." This is somebody I don't even know. She doesn't know that I give away free hugs. And so we hugged. There we are, two people, strangers, hugging in the middle of Glendale. And she's crying away. And after a couple seconds, she says, "Thank you, I needed that." She said, "I lost my Max to cancer." And you could see a relief in her face. And we parted company. I gave her words of encouragement that things will get better. And she said she did know that they would get better. And she just really, really appreciated the hug. And then we walked away. Both of us changed. For a moment, perhaps a little bit longer. I know mine, I'm changed. And I think that's the beauty of life, how it unfolds. It's not with the details. We get too consumed with details. Max. She's mourning the passing of Max. Who's Max? Could have been a husband. Could have been a boyfriend. Could have been a dog. She was walking a dog. Does it really matter? No, what does matter is that two human beings stopped from their life and shared a moment, shared a bit of humanity, validated that we are still human. I mean, she didn't know me, I didn't know her, and then we're just stopping. And it has hit me, it has changed me. You know, I've got such a great parish council over here at the Youth Ministry Center, St. Peter in Glendale, and they've given me a chance to really spread the ministry in very special directions. And, you know, the other day we were cleaning out the office, and I came upon these little coupons that we had produced a few years back. It says, hug coupon. Good for one hug, redeemable from any participating human being. It even has Armenian writing on it. It says Patuk. I don't even remember when we made these, but it was just interesting because I got a hug this morning, kind of changed me. I want to give you a hug coupon. Drop me an email. Give me a physical address, and I'll send you a free coupon. It's redeemable with any human being. And I think that humanity, that human being touch is so important in life that we just don't get enough of it, do we? I remember this was a few years back. See, this is opening up all kinds of doors. Today we've got a great podcast for you, but I do have to share this story with you. A few years back, Dr. Kamajan, he's a physician here in Glendale. He invited me to see some of his work. He does some work with some of the less fortunate. He's got a free clinic going out in Thousand Oaks. And I did the rounds with him one evening. And I'll never forget this because it made such an impression on me. But one of the ladies that came in, she came in complaining of this and that, pains and all kinds of things. And he sat her down in the visitation room, what do they call it? The examination room, excuse me. And he began rubbing her back. And she spoke and rubbing her back a little bit more. And that was it. And then he sent her off. Now, you could say that was maybe a placebo, but it was much more than that. And I asked him later on, I said, well, what was wrong with her? He says, nothing. She just needed human touch. She just goes through this every 3 or 4 weeks. She just craves human touch. She's a woman who's alone, who has nobody else. So she comes into the free clinic and just gets that rub. And it is so necessary to continue. And you think about it. I mean, we know that in most of the animal kingdom, you can't survive, right? You can't survive without food. You can't survive without water, without the bare necessities. But for the human being, touch is also part of the bare necessities. And there have been countless studies that have been done where you deprive a person of that touch and you see what kind of difficulties they go through. So, anyway, we're digressing in so many different directions, but it is fun. That's part of the nature of what we do here on The Next Step, because it is part of The Next Step. Hey, anyway, I want to thank you all for the wonderful comments that we got last week. As I said a few minutes ago, I went on a bike ride last night. It was so nice. I want to thank my dear friends over at Predator Cycling for tuning up, humming up my bike. It was so much fun. Hey, listen, if you haven't gone out for a bike ride, do it this summer. It is really great. And, you know, if you're interested in some really high-end bikes, do check out Predator Cycling. I got to do a shout-out. They did such a great number on my bike. But they've got some incredible bikes. If you're on the high-end, if you're doing some racing, you want to check them out. PredatorCycling.com. All kinds of wild things over there. Hey, listen, I've got a wild show for you today, too. I have so much to share with you. You know, the week goes by and you think of, well, I've got to talk about this and that. You know, I mean, we are going through some very difficult times here in the United States, financially, economically, difficulties all around. You've got basically a standstill in government. You want to talk about, well, you know, what is government all about? I mean, it's exactly where we left off with The Next Step last week, and that's where I want to pick up today. So I said I want to take it in a wild ride. You know, we talked about the institution as opposed to the message, and we're going to go there in a few minutes. I'm going to share with you also a little report that came out of NPR this week about children and the alarming rate of divorce and broken families. And what's interesting is not the news, because I think everybody knows. I think everybody knows that we have difficulties in our lives and relations do go sour. But what is impressive about this report is that it comes out of NPR, that people are now concerned about something that the church should be and has been. But now, when NPR says it, it's a little bit different. We're going to go there. We're going to go check out what's going on over there. But before we do that, you know, we kick off every week with a song of the day. Today, we're going to go to John Bilezikjian. I had a chance to see him just a few days ago. He was performing somewhere. Incredible artist. And he is giving a concert this coming Sunday. And I want to do a shout out over here, too. This is this coming Sunday, August 21st. If you are in the Southern California area, do come to this concert. You will be missing something great if you're not there. I'll put a link on our show notes for sure. You'll be able to check out how to get some tickets. But here is John Bilezikjian, just some great oud artistry. You don't find this anywhere else. John Bilezikjian, Armenian Dance. Thank you. it doesn't get any better, does it? That is John Belizikchan. That is off of his Oud Artistry album. It's a song called Armenian Dance. You could see just, master of the Oud. And like I said, he's got a concert coming up this Sunday, August 21st. I'm going to put a link to his website, to John Belizikchan's website. You'll want to check out all of his music as well as the song we just played. And if you can, get out to this concert. There's a link on his site that'll tell you how to get some tickets and more information. So, we just finished the Feast of the Holy Virgin Mary, the Feast of Assumption, and we had great blessings. Did you have a nice Feast of Assumption? Oh, it was so beautiful. Here in Glendale, there were so many grapes that we had. It was kind of a little bit too much, too. But it gave us a chance to get those grapes out to the local old age homes, a couple of the Armenian old age homes. Actually, in Glendale is kind of a strange phenomena, too. Even the homes, the convalescent homes that aren't Armenian owned or operated, they're filled and they're packed with Armenians. So you have this opportunity to just take out grapes everywhere, including the Ararat home, which is the more established Armenian home, but also to a lot of the homes around. So it was just a beautiful opportunity to really share the blessing within the community. And if you had a chance to listen to the sermon that I gave last Sunday, it's up on epostle.net on our sermons page. But if not, I want to just add just a little extra to it, because I don't think it developed the way that I intended it to. It occurred to me last week as I was reading the passage, this comes from John chapter 15, that the metaphor that Christ uses is so important, that it is so essential that we plug into that metaphor, because in it, it's not only this beautiful description of our relationship with Christ. Remember, he says, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. Basically, we are the branches. We have an opportunity that if we're connected to the vine, to produce. And so we have an opportunity to have this productive life if we're connected to God. Okay, and the minute that we cut out that connection, we may look good. I mean, you've all seen beautiful grapes on tables. You've seen them in your grocery store. They look beautiful, but for all intent and purposes, they are dead, right? They cannot produce anymore because they're not connected to the vine. And in the same way, if we stay connected to God, we can produce. But the minute you cut off that relationship, you may look good. You may even taste good. You may be something like, oh man, I am hot. But at the end of the day, you're dead. And there is this spiritual death that occurs within human beings that people have identified it in many ways. I remember a big theologian back in the last century, Paul Tillich, he describes it in stages of anxiety. And more in courage. Courage to Be was the book that he wrote specifically. And there is this idea of this spiritual death that so many people go through. That what is my life? Can it be productive? How can it be more productive? Can I be connected to the vine? Now, the point that I want to make here is that there is a meeting of science and religion at this point. And it doesn't surprise me, those of you who've been walking with us, running with the next step, taking the next steps, know that this is just all part of it. I mean, I don't really separate the two, but I think it's so necessary to begin this discussion for people who don't get it quite, who don't understand it, that always want to believe that spirituality is not something that has to obey the laws and rules of nature, that somehow nature and science cannot come to meet with our spiritual beings. And I think Christ really hits it with this parable when he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. I mean, think about it for a moment. It's really a no-brainer, isn't it, in science? In basic agriculture. Forget basic agriculture. Let's go to first, second, third grade science when they bring the little earth there, and they take the little seed, and the teacher instructs you. You put it in the earth, and then the seed opens up, and then there is sun on it, and then it produces a beautiful flower. I mean, think about it, how basic that is. And Christ, every message that he had was a basic message. It wasn't complicated. It was very profound. In fact, it was so profound that people got that they needed to complicate it. And he's saying, don't complicate it. It's very easy. And look at that. It really follows the laws and the rules of nature. If you are connected to the vine, you will produce. If you're not connected to the vine, you may look beautiful, you may taste beautiful, but you're dead. Like the grapes. And this comes to us from John chapter 15. I invite you to read it because it is so beautiful. It is the mixing of science and religion. And then meditate about just this idea. Because as you see, Christ uses these types of metaphor that don't complicate things, that don't go out of nature, but are very natural. I mean, think about when he says, unless a grain of wheat must fall into the earth and die before it produces its harvest, as he's referring to himself going into the earth and dying, and then it produces Christianity. There is no Christianity before the resurrection. There is Christianity because we become Christ-centered around the resurrection. The grain of wheat, it has to fall and die for it to produce. And every one of his parables has this concrete, scientific base to it, natural base to it. And from that, we can extrapolate. These beautiful ideas, these beautiful concepts for our spiritual life. The blessing of the grapes. It gave me that little insight. You know, I don't mean to belabor the point. I don't mean to really dwell into it too much. You know that we talk about a lot of events, and we talk about scientific events here on The Next Step, too. And some people take, you know, they say, what are you doing? You're talking about religion. And no, it's not about one's exclusive of the other. It's not about one is impossible within the realm of the other. No, they all go together. They all work together. I mean, science has its rules and its regulations, right? It is a way of basically explaining a physical entity, a physical universe, a physical space. Well, religion has to do with the soul, and that also, we believe, is just as valid, takes up space. Right? And so we try to explain these things. That's all it is. And it's not too complicated. There are rules, there are regulations, and we need, especially we in the religion, the world of religion, need to really take that extra look and realize that we're not talking about supernatural when we're talking about items of faith, articles of faith. No, we're talking about something very natural. Very natural in part of being. Just as I said a few minutes ago about that idea of touch, about, well, how can you explain touch? How can you explain the relief, the energy? How could you explain the emotions that are involved in that touch? Right? And we do it in a variety of means and expressions. We could do it scientifically. We can test it for certain values. We could do it emotionally because we know the results that a touch gives you relief, gives you hope, and so on. Like I said, it is not what I wanted to focus on, but in preparing for the sermon last week, it just occurred to me that we really try too hard to exclude the two of them when really science, religion, they're all ways of explaining something very important, something very dear, and that's the life that we share on this planet. Now, before concluding on the thoughts of St. Mary and the blessed Astvadzin, we've been talking about it for the last couple weeks, and today, of course, we follow up with this idea of the grapes. But let me go one more step and talk about family, because when we refer to Astvadzin, of course, there is the issue of motherhood. We call her the Holy and Blessed Mother, the Mother of Jesus Christ, the Mother of God. And what is that? The Mother of all things, right? If we believe that God is all around us, she is the Mother of all things, basically of life. And I wanted to share this little story that I heard on NPR radio the other day. It just caught my attention, because the themes that they were talking about were themes that have long since been explored in church, long since been explored by Christianity. But now that NPR is saying it, it kind of gives us, and I'm not going to sound like some rightist, because I'm definitely not, and I listen to NPR not to snoop on them, because I enjoy them. And just hearing this, kind of, it occurred to me that, you know, when all is said and done, if you really think about it, it's all part of the same equation, the equation of life, right? Anyway, the story I'm talking about, and we'll put it up on our show notes as well, it's a study that cohabitating parents, they're bad for kids. And let me read you a couple sentences from, or a couple paragraphs that come from the story. This is dated August 16th, right after the Feast of Astvadzin. It says, as more and more U.S. couples decide to have children without first getting married, a group of 18 family scholars is sounding an alarm about the impact this may have on those children. Now, if 18 religious leaders got together, what would it do? It would sound an alarm that there goes the right. What's going on? The Christians are digging their head and they're going somewhere else. But we can hide under family scholarship, can't we? That's kind of cool, right? I like that. In a new report out Tuesday, they say research shows the children of cohabitating parents are at risk of a broad range of problems, from trouble in school to psychological stress, physical abuse, and poverty. The study is put out by the National Marriage Project and the Institute of American Values, groups whose missions include strengthening marriage and family life. It suggests a shift in focus is needed away from the children of divorce, which has long been a preoccupying concern for such scholars. Interesting, huh? Now it goes on, and I'm going to let you read it, take a look at it, and see all the points in this. But here's what I wanted to stress. You know, when we talk about the revolution that has taken place in life, and it used to be, you could say, the revolution that took place in America, but now it's basically everywhere. It's all over, and thanks to technology, there is no more division between East and West, between free and captive. It is basically, we are all one on this planet, and everything is revealed. But one of the big revolutions that took place in our lifetime was the sexual revolution, and in it, it was basically this idea that, okay, through sex, it is an expression that people have towards one another, and not necessarily for the purpose of procreating. And I think that one of the things that was missed, and continues to be missed even today, is that the victim of all of this are these innocent children. I mean, we've got stupid movies that come out, the 40-year-old virgin, talking about, you know, a man who hasn't had any sexual relations. And everybody goes, and, you know, these are blockbusters. And you say, well, don't be so prudish and everything. I'm not. You know, there's people like making millions and millions and millions of dollars on these things. While at the same time, there are children who are dying of purely man-made reasons, you know. Genocide, because of embargoes, because of famine. We're talking about children who are basically forgotten about because they are the product of, well, of the wealth, of the ability to make wealth off of these idiot movies. Yes, they're the encouragement that, hey, you know, it's just sex. And if you say something about it, well, then what are you talking about? You know, we're supposed to have fun at the end of the day. Well, okay, you are, but where does responsibility come in? Where does responsibility come in people's lives? And so this was what was interesting about this NPR story, is that all of a sudden we're talking about the same issues that the church was talking about, has been talking about, but now it comes from NPR. And there's a group of people that are out there. God bless them all, you know. I mean, we look up to them. You know, they're bigger than life. They appear on these big screens. And so all of a sudden we're awestruck and we listen to what these people say. You know, I mean, what's their claim to fame? They've made a movie? Well, they've certainly made money, so that's, I guess, that counts for something. But what's their claim to fame? The latest one is Kim Kardashian, an Armenian girl. What's her claim to fame? What has she done? Paris Hilton, what did she do? What did Paris Hilton do? Okay, I admit there are some actors, actresses that just bring out all the emotion. There are musicians that do so much to bring out emotions in people. They certainly do to me. But when we're talking about these unrealistic amounts of money, millions and millions and billions of dollars, while people are suffering in this world, shouldn't there be a cry out? Shouldn't there be something out there like, what is your claim to fame? What makes you so special? I know, you got to be careful, though, saying these things, because all of a sudden they want to bundle everybody up into these labels, pigeonhole them. But I'll tell you what I am, okay? I'm not in the right. I'll tell you what I do believe in. I believe in a message that was given to us by the incarnation of God. A message that was given to us from the beginning of time. And if you want to avoid the word God, that was beginning given to us at the beginning of universe, when everything became into being. And that is the message of love. And that's what Jesus Christ spoke. That's what I'm here to tell you. Jesus Christ's message was very simple and pure about the respect and love that we have for one another. That if we are going to find peace in the world, it's not going to come from some supernatural event, but it's going to come from our ability to get along with one another. And that's why it surprises me. Every time we're talking about peace talks and we're looking for peace, we keep looking and going back to the politicians who cannot help but not bring peace because of the nature of what they do, right? Politics excludes peace because it's politics. You got to start looking for new metaphors, new ways of putting these things together. And I know this sounds like we're going in many directions today, but really it's an important one. That when you talk about sexual revolution, when you talk about free sex, when you talk about the idea of not being inhibited, who is the one who is the victim of all this? Well, we talk about women, we talk about men, we talk about emotions. Are we talking about the children? Are we talking about the product of these unions? These children who come out confused and unexpecting. Children who are basically didn't go along, didn't sign up for the project, but have become victims because of accidents, because of events that have taken place. I want to just share that idea with you, that you think about it. Take a look at this article. I would love to hear from you, because we're going to go one step further. After we hear Ani and her bubbles today, we're going to go one step further, and we're going to be talking about institution. We're going to talk about the means by which the institution gets its work done. And it all connects. It all connects. So we're doing bit by bit, piece by piece. I hope you're with me right now. Here's Ani with today's bubbles. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Today's spiritual bubble is about rafting. By good fortune, I was able to raft down the Motu River in New Zealand twice during the last year. The magnificent 4-day journey traverses one of the last wilderness areas in the North Island. The first expedition was led by Buzz, an American guide with a great deal of rafting experience and many stories to tell of mighty rivers such as the Colorado. With a leader like Buzz, there was no reason to fear any of the great rapids on the Motu. The first half day, in the gentle upper reaches, was spent developing teamwork and coordination, Strokes had to be mastered, and the discipline of following commands without question was essential. In the boiling fury of a rapid, there would be no room for any mistake. When Buzz bellowed above the roar of the water, an instant reaction was essential. We mastered the Motu. In every rapid we fought against the river, we overcame it. The screamed commands of Buzz were matched only by the fury of our paddles as we took the raft exactly where Buzz wanted it to go. At the end of the journey, there was a great feeling of triumph. We had won. We proved that we were superior. We knew that we could do it. We felt powerful and good. The mystery and majesty of the Motu had been overcome. The second time I went down the Motu, the experience I had gained should have been invaluable, but the guide on this journey was a very softly spoken Kiwi. It seemed that it would not even be possible to hear his voice above the noise of the rapids. As we approached the very first rapid, he never even raised his voice. He did not attempt to take command of us or the river. Gently and quietly, he felt the mood of the river and watched every little whirlpool. There was no drama, no shouting. There was no contest to be won. He loved the river. We sped through each rapid with grace and beauty, and day after day, the river had become our friend, not our enemy. The quiet Kiwi was not our leader, but only the person whose sensitivity was more developed than our own. Laughter replaced the tension of achievement. Soon, the quiet Kiwi was able to lean back and let all of us take turns as leader. A quiet nod was enough to draw attention to the things our lack of experience prevented us from seeing. If we made a mistake, then we laughed and it was the next person's turn. We began to penetrate the mystery of the Motu. Now, like the quiet Kiwi, we listened to the river and we looked carefully for all those things we had not even noticed the first time. At the end of the journey, we had overcome nothing except ourselves. We did not want to leave behind our friend, the river. There was no contest, and so nothing had been won. Rather, we had become one with the river. It remains difficult to believe that the external circumstances of the two journeys were similar. The difference was in an attitude and a frame of mind. At the end of the journey, it seemed that there could be no other way. Given the opportunity to choose a leader, everyone would have chosen someone like Buzz. But at the end of the second journey, we had glimpsed a very different vision, and we felt humble and intensely happy. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float down the river rapids to heaven.
Oh, thank you, Ani. What a beautiful story. I really like that. That was very, very special. Do you find it difficult to use the word humble and leader in the same sentence, the same story, within the same context? It's interesting, isn't it? Huh? Would you say Jesus was humble? Would you say he was a leader? Both of them, right? He was humble, he was leader. Interesting. Anyway, see, you got my mind to go off. My mind is going off in different places. And that's what this is all about, right? Anyway, Ani does this little segment called Bubbles, Spiritual Bubbles, and that's what it's supposed to do. Get your mind to wander a little bit. Certainly did mine. Thank you, Ani. That was her installment this week. Usually right around here, Susie comes in and gives like a little commercial. But what I wanted to do today is, with your permission, yeah. Okay. What I'd like to do is really kind of emphasize the work that we're doing over here through Apostle, through In Issues, in the context of what we've been talking about. Remember last week, Ani spoke about the man from Ick. We got some response to that. I don't want to say overwhelming, but we did get a few responses to that. And I thought it was a very special. To me, I really, really like that story because it really talks about what the Christian community should be fearing. It's not from outside, but it's from within, right? Think about it for a moment, right? I mean, that was the point of the Man from Ick story. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it's in last week's podcast. It's the spiritual bubble from last week's podcast. It is really worth listening to. We got to see if we could even put it up someplace. Fantastic little story. It's not the threat from outside, but the threat from within that caused suffocation. Because you're not getting clean air. You're not breathing freely. And so what we try to do with Apostle through what we're calling Armadoxy, I mean, we're basically branding something that's very old. It's what Jesus talked about. You know, it's the original message of what would Jesus do. Come down to the very basic message of love, of help, of nurturing, of caring, of building up, of offering hope. And these aren't complicated things. These are things you and I do daily to one another, certainly to our children, to our family members. But now can we extend it and make it really a code of love that we live? So that it extends, so that when we're talking about peace in the world, we're not looking always to politicians, but looking to ourselves. And so what we do in Armadoxy, what we do at the next step, epostle.net, I mean, what is us all about? It's very basic. It's how do we take that original faith? I mean, what's the reason why here's a group of people that have no reason, business to be existing, and they're existing. You look at Armenia, it's landlocked between three continents. Barbarians, all kinds of wars have taken place. People have just trampled through it, raped and pillaged the land, the people, and somehow they've survived. Not by any military might, not by politics they've played. Certainly they don't even know the politics today. They're still counting on Turkey to accept something. I mean, like, wild. There's no politics even. There's no even thought put to that. But a clean and true faith, a belief. And you look at what the church leaders throughout the years, throughout the centuries, have written by way of prayers. I mean, it always gets to me, you know, Gomidas Vartabed. I'm using him because not even the non-churched, even the people who don't even believe, will recognize that he was a great that was lost during the genocide. I mean, lost, of course, spiritually, mentally. Gomidas Vartabed writes this beautiful prayer, Chorut Chorin, which is the prayer of introduction that when they come into the church, when we begin the divine liturgy. Gomidas has put it to a beautiful melody, which always strikes me. It is so moving. It makes you, it conjures up so many images. But what gets to me is, here's Gomidas Vartabed, watching the devastation, watching his people, watching his whole nation go under. And here he is writing, Chorut, mystery deep, inscrutable, without beginning. Singing the praises of a mystery. When you should be condemning, when you should, any one of us would have no, I mean, nobody would condemn him if he got up and said, "What's going on? God, where are you?" I mean, certainly at Armenian genocide rallies, you'll always hear somebody get up. There's a very famous Armenian singer who gets up and he sings this song, "Ured Asfaz," "Where were you, God?" And people just go crazy. "Yeah, where were you, God?" I mean, nobody would blame you. No one would blame Gomidas if he got up and he said, "Ured Asfaz." But instead, what does he do? He sings a praise to mystery, inscrutable, without beginning, unfathomable. And that mystery is really at the heart of what Armenian Orthodoxy is about. Now, let's bring this into the discussion that we've been having for a few weeks. We've been talking about, we've been kind of building up, because we're going to be seeing things moving in a different direction, slowly. I can't do it quickly. But basically, what is the point of talking about Armenian Orthodoxy, what I call Armadoxy? It's basically stripping away the institution that prevents you from seeing that beauty. Because too many times, this is not just an indictment of the church, but this is of every institution. What is the first purpose of any institution? Think about it for a moment. What is the purpose of any institution? Whether it is a church, whether it is a school, it is a hospital, what is the first and foremost purpose of it? It's the same purpose of you and me, of any living entity. Survival. I mean, isn't this what Darwin said? Survival of the fittest. This is why I'm telling you earlier when I said, you know, science, religion, it's all the same thing. Any institution, survival, self-preservation. That's the purpose of any institution. Ask the sociologist, ask the anthropologist, ask anyone who studies patterns, life, self-preservation. Okay, and so too with the church. How do we preserve the self? How do we make sure that the church survives? And so you've got all kinds of rules and regulations, don't you? This is where a lot of the rules come up in church. I mean, have you ever thought about why there's such a big there's such a big effort to make celibacy the rule of the church? I mean, when St. Paul talked about it, he was thinking of an imminent end. St. Paul said, be like me. He said, don't get married. Yeah, well, you know, that's okay to say if you're believing that the end of the world is coming tomorrow. If you believe Jesus is coming in the next few days, you say, okay, don't get married. Instead, focus in on what's important right now for the survival of yourself. I mean, very, very self-centered, isn't it? But why do we have issues of celibacy clouding up matters of the church? Well, obviously, self-preservation. You had families, you had wives who were asking for their share from the church. It was against what the church was advocating. It becomes a real estate issue. Self-preservation. Think about right now, any schism. I could talk about it in the Armenian church, but I know that a lot of our listeners don't understand the nuances, and neither do I want to go in that direction between Entremiads and Antilias. Suffice it to say that there's a couple hierarchical C's. But in any organization, what is it all about? Doesn't it come down to real estate? Doesn't it come down to what are the financial gains between one and the other, and who's going to prosper? You think about self-preservation. And because you're in that mode of self-preservation, because evolution has taken over and it's the survival of the fittest, you lose sight of what the message should be. In Jesus' case, it wasn't about self-preservation. Think about it now. Okay? Go purely Darwinian reasoning right now. Jesus was not interested in preservation of the self. He knew he was going on a cross. He knew his end was on the cross. That's where the story was going to lead, and that's where he was going. Okay, so with that in mind, he is able to say, this is the message that I have. It's pure. It's a message of hope. It's a message of love. It's a message of compassion. And I'm not interested what happens to me, because I've turned that over to God. I'm not interested. If it ends up on the cross, so be it, because now the message has to get out. Somebody comes and shoves the microphone into his head today and says, Jesus, okay, 2,000 years later, what would you really rather people remember, your name or your message? What do you think he would say? My name? I want people to remember who I was? No. He would say, my message. My message is pure. It goes beyond my name. It is the message of love, of compassion. And can we get to that message? That's what Armadoxy is about. That's what we're doing over here. Because if you want to avoid the suffocation that we talked about, the man from Ick, the suffocation of the bubble, and again, I'm inviting you, if you did not listen to it, you need to listen to it. It's last week's bubble, episode 166. Check it out. Fantastic story. Because it's an indictment against the Christian church. It's an indictment against institutions that are so consumed on self-preservation that they fail to see that their mission is out there and it is being lost. The mission is being lost. Jesus Christ as the focus, as that true vine. Jesus Christ as the center of love. Jesus Christ as love incarnate. That message has been lost. And it's up to us, as Christians, as children of Christ, as family members of Christ, who have that name, Christian, to bring back that message. And it's a simple one. It's not complicated. It's really reaching out. Self-sacrifice. It means being humbled. It means service. It means love, compassion, helping. Right now you look around in the world, you see the difficulties that the world is going in. We see financial collapse, economies collapsing. We see wars. It's not enough that we had one, now we have two, we have three. Going on, and this is just the major powers. Well, I should say major power, with all the small satellites around it coming to help out. I mean, what is the answer? Another war? Or is the answer that we start looking inward and start talking about compassion? About peace beginning with me, as me being one of the first people who could say that, okay, I may not be able to solve the situations in the Middle East. I may not be able to solve the situations in Washington, but I certainly can solve the situation right around me. Let me look for that peace within my life. Let me get along with my neighbor, with my family, with my wife, with my husband, with my children, with my parents. Can I get along with my friends? With my brothers and sisters? Can I get along in the community? Can I find those avenues and expressions of peace? And the formula is given to us by Jesus Christ. Judge not, lest you be judged. Stop judging. Relax. Seek your mind on God's kingdom and all else will follow. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. I mean, his instructions are there. They're pure. And they bring you right into focus. Now, we come down to Armodoxy. Why have the Armenians survived? Well, we've discounted all the big ones, right? We've discounted all of them. There's no weapons. There's no major armies. I mean, whatever armies we've had, we've been outnumbered, out-strategized by all the other neighboring barbarians, warmongers. What have we had? Capital? With what? What money? We used to have a very nice agriculture. And then that was taken away. Basically what you see in Turkey, all of those fertile green lands. I remember a friend of mine who had been up on Mount Ararat. He said, yeah, we really got the short end of the stick. You look down Ararat at what's today modern Armenia, the small portion that remains. Basically all rocks. And you look the other side of Turkey, it's all fertile greenery. Interesting, huh? So we can't even say that the land has been good to us. But faith has been good to us. The spirit has been good to us. That belief, that complete commitment to the faith. And I know I'm talking abstract over here. I'm talking about, well, how many people? Somebody will say, well, what, forget about how many people. It doesn't take how many people. It takes one. It takes two. It takes you and me. It takes us to believe that until we put our feet in the shoes of others, until we have respect for one another, we can't love one another. Until we can extend our arms and our embrace to one another, we can't really begin to start talking about peace and goodness in the world. It begins with this simple message that Jesus Christ gave. Love one another as I have loved you. And that's at the center of Armenian Orthodoxy. I want to leave you with those thoughts. Next week we're going to have a special guest with us. We're going to be continuing. I know you. I appreciate you listening in every week. I know it's kind of difficult. We go from week to week. And we have interesting comments and talks. But I always encourage you to get involved by sending me an email, dropping me a line. I'm at feedback@epostle.net. I would love to hear from you. Would love to hear your comments. Also, join us on our website, inissues.org, as well as epostle.net. You'll find today's podcast, as well as every podcast we've done from the beginning of time. I'm really happy to tell you that within the next few weeks, we are going to be starting yet another video series. Yep. just when you thought it was safe. You can check us out at YouTube/Armadoxy. We've got all kinds of videos that have been popping up, but we've got a great series that is going to start. I can't tell you everything about it. I can't even begin to tell you about it because it's so exciting. But I will tell you this much, that when you see it, you're going to say, wow, now that's what I call apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. For the wonderful people who put today's show together, it's Susie, our producer, wonderful lady too. For Ani with her bubbles, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again. Well, join us on the net, but join us again next week for sure when we take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
Next step 160.